Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf. We began a brand new Perek, so it's Perek Shishi on Daf Tzadik Beis Amud Aleph. Says the Mishnah, Moicher Pirois Lechaviru. Reuben sold grain. He sold beans to Shimon. And Shimon did not really indicate his plans, his intention. His intended use, is it for personal consumption or for replanting? And he decided to replant it. Vizaron, Shimon planted it, and guess what? It didn't really work. Bloit Samchu. It didn't grow. He comes back to Reuben for a refund. What do you mean? It was meant for planting, and they're not really working out. Even if we're speaking about flaxseed, which is most likely meant for replanting, still, since, at least in some cases, people use it for personal consumption, Reuven does not have to refund Shimon. Because you can just say, look, you should have explained yourself. I figured you're buying it for personal use, personal consumption. Doesn't have to have the ability to take root and grow, right? But there's an exception to the rule. The Reine Gina. You have vegetable seeds, which are inedible. Certainly, it was meant for replanting. So here, Rabbi Shimon Leil Omer, Zeroine Gina, She'ena Nechol, if he's holding these types of seeds, which are inedible, of course, Chaya Bachar Yusim is responsible. He has to refund them if they're unsuccessful, if they don't work, if they don't grow, because since that's the only purpose for these seeds, it's as though, says the Rashbam, the seller actually told the buyer, take it and plant it. And therefore, if they fail, he has to refund them. Itmar, we have learned in a discussion between Rav and Shmuel, which pertains to our mission as well. You see, it's an interesting point that we see in the Mishnah. Even, let's say, right, Pishtan, which is most likely, Rashbam says, Roiv Pishtan is Nikach Lizria, you buy it for farming, for planting. It's irrelevant. Roiv doesn't really determine the halacha, which is actually going to be in line with Shmuel and our Gemara. Roiv is not a factor. Roiv does not determine when it comes to financial disagreements, financial questions. And that's why the Mishnah says the seller is not responsible. Itmar we have learned about Hamoicher Shor L'Chaveiro. Reuben sold an ox to his friend Shimon. Now an ox is basically a dual-purpose creature. You can either use them for farming purposes, to plow and whatever, or perhaps Shimon purchased it for personal consumption, to shecht it. So he sold him the shor, but it turns out to be a negeah, he's a gorer, he's a violent animal, only really suitable for shechita. Now Shimon claims, I never intended to eat it, I was going to use it on my farm, and I even paid you for it, high money, big money, right? So Rav Omar, Hareza Mekachtos. Rav says, Shimon can just return the shor. Look, I mean, it's the wrong item. I need a farm animal, not a shechita animal. Okay? So it's like I asked you for wine, you gave me vinegar, right? Shmuel Omar, Yochaloy Merle, the shechita mechartavloch. Shmuel disagrees. Even if a roiv people buy oxen for personal use, for farm use, roiv is not really a determinant factor. It's about the strength of your claim. So here, the seller can say, look, I figured you wanted for shechita. Some people buy for shechita. I don't care about roiv. Right? You should have told me you want it for your farm. So here, Reuben has the upper hand. Ask the Gemara, what do you mean? Let's take a look and analyze Shimon's buying habits. What is Shimon involved in? What's his business? What's his occupation? Is he a farmer? So then it's understood. Reuben should have understood that he's buying it for his farm. Is he a slaughterhouse dealer, manager? Then a sheikh, then. Velechsi, let's take a look. Igarva dezavon l'chsasa. If Shimon is a fellow who buys animals for shechita, so we assume l'chsasa is meant for shechita. And Reuben is right. Iliradia, but if he's a farmer, who purchases animal for farming use, so then Laradja. Then we should assume Reuven should have known that he's a farmer and that's what he needs the animal for. It's as though he was a farish, as though he stipulated clearly, I need it for my farm. Everybody knows a farmer. Right? It's like the case in the Mishnah where he sold him the inedible vegetable seeds. Not everything has to be explicitly expressed in words. It's implicit, it's understood. Zog to Gemara. Well, we're speaking about a fellow who's involved in both. He's a farmer and also is a sheikh. Begavra the Zav and Lachalach. He buys for this and for that. So now, there's no way to really determine his intention. So the seller is not responsible. Asks the Gemara, but what about the price? Take a look at the pricing. Right? So since this fellow is involved in both types of endeavors, but he paid so much for this animal, apparently, this time it was for farming. But let's take a look at the price paid. Dmei, hecheninu, how much did he pay for it? Right? So since this fellow can go either way, could be he bought it for the farm, could be he bought it for the shechita, so let the price be our indicator. And and that should be a raya. So if he bought it for $1,000 when a shechita animal goes for $500, it's pretty clear that that's what he wanted it for. He wanted it for the farm. Okay. And the Rashbam points out that worst case, if you didn't realize that he wanted it for his farm, okay, you owe him a refund because he grossly overpaid. Says the Malitzricha must be speaking the Yaker Bistra, the company made radio. There's no difference in the price because the price of meat rose, shot up. So an animal for Shechita goes for the same price as a farm animal. So the money, the numbers are not going to be any indication. Yochi, the man of Kamina, says the okay, so if that's the case, so what's he complaining about? Either way, it's $1,000. Right? So it's worth. The animal is worth the amount that he paid for it. So it's the Gemara of Kamina L'Tircha. The point is like this. He doesn't want to be dealing with the flesh of the animal. He wants an animal for his farm. He doesn't want to shecht it and sell the flesh and buy another animal. I'm not interested. Take it back. Give me back my money. Ask the Gemara Yechidam. So, in what type of case can the buyer have that claim to his seller? I want you to refund me the money. I don't want to hold on to this cow. I don't want to shecht. I don't want to deal with the cow. I want my money back. If the seller doesn't have other funds that the buyer can go ahead and claim and access. So the akiv tur bezuzay. So in that case, what does he want? Let him just hold on to the animal. The akiv tur, let him hold back the animal bezuzay and apply it to the money owed to him. The Amr Ishi, as people say, and it's based on a pasuk, Rashbam says, based on a drasha back above a kama. Look, if the fellow has nothing to pay you, you grab anything you can get. When Mari Rashvasach, from the fellow that owes you the money, Pari, even Bran Ephra will collect. So if the fellow can't, doesn't have access to money, just grab the animals. What are you complaining about? Litzricha must be the Iklish Talumimine. He has money, he has other money. I want that money. I paid him money. I want my money back. Take your animal. So that's the machlekes. Okay, so now we have the whole setup here, the whole context. So what's the machlekes about? Rav Amar Rav says, Harizim Mekachtos. He's right. Basa Rubaz Linan. Most people, Roiv is on the customer side. Most people are buying the animals for the farm. So it's a violent animal. I deserve my money back. Veruba L'Rad Yezavni. Most people buy the animal for the for the farm. With Shmuel Amar Lach, Shmuel responds no. Ki Azlin Basaruba, I agree. The Roiv factor is in his favor. But Roiv is only at play, be Isura, when we deal with Isur Veheter. Rashbam says, for instance, you find a piece of meat in the street, and most, meat stores are kosher, so your meat is kosher. But B'mamayna, when it comes to financial matters, loy. Roiv is not going to establish the Aloch. Why, says Rashbam? Remember, but when it comes to mamonos, there's a muchsuk, a fellow who's actually in possession of the money. In this case, the seller has the money, right? So Raiv cannot override that muchsuk factor, and he keeps his money. Unless the buyer proves his case otherwise. Simon Isha Ve'evet Shoyer Shoyer Nepir. The outcome is a cash. kasha on Rav, who says that Rav, Rav and Rav, are synonymous, right? So you need to remember. So Rav is going to be a koveya, even by Dini Mamanus. Maisvi, here comes a kasha. We have a Mishnah back in Masachas Ksubais. Ha'isha shenis almana, and this kasha, a woman, became widowed or divorced, and she wants her ksuba payment. The question is, how much is she getting? What was her status upon marriage? Was she a bisula? In which case, she deserves 200 coins, or was she previously married? This was the second time around. She only gets 100 coins. Now, of course, the ksuba is not around. Otherwise, just take a look at the ksuba, which would indicate to us what her status was. There's no ksuba, or it's a place where they don't write a ksuba, says the Rashba. No. So we have a big dispute. She says, Psula is Asi. I was married as a Psula. I need my full payment. And the husband who divorced her or the kids of the widow claim otherwise. He says, no, you were married an Almana. How do we prove the Imyesh Edim? So if we have witnesses, Shiyotza Binuma, that when she left to the wedding, she was wearing this sort of like head covering, Bresha Perua, or her hair was loose, which was an indication of a besula. That was the minute for a besula. So then we know she was a besula. Ksubas Masayim, she's entitled to the full payment. Okay, that's the end of the halach. Ask the Gemara question. Time with the Edim. So the only way she can prove her case is with these Edim who can tell us what happened. Holak Edim. But let's say you don't have Edim. Loy. In that case, she can't win the case. But my, why? What about the Rav factor? Most likely, most women that marry are besulis. Lei mahalich achar Rav hanashim. V'Rav hanashim besulis nisis. Most women are besulis. Amar Avina, you know why? We can't apply the Rav. Mishum de'ikol amemo, because we can say like this. Rav hanashim besulis nisis. You're right. Most likely, a woman marries as a besula. Umiyat almanis. But sometimes it's otherwise. Sometimes it's an alman. Here comes the catch. V'chol anisis besula. Yesh lo koil. Every besula which gets married generates excitement. It's big news. Vizuba, in this case, by this woman, hoil ve'in lo koil, she doesn't have that koil. Nobody knows. Was she a besula? Nobody remembers. Nobody here. Right? Yisra lo ruba. So in this case, the roiv factor has been shaken. Has been challenged. Sort of, it got a hole punched through it. Because if she, in fact she was a besula, why don't we know about it? Right? So, this is not an ordinary roiv. This is a roiv with a big question mark. So we can't follow the roiv. So if she has edim, that she had been dressed like a besula, then we go with that. Otherwise we can't. Ask the Gemara, hold it. Now let's ask the Kasha the other way around. If in fact it's true, ikol anisis besulas yesh lan koil, if a koil accompanies every besula marriage, so in this case we don't have a koil, right? Because even these edim don't know for sure whether she was a besula or not. They're just telling us how she was dressed, right? So since she has no koil, doesn't that prove otherwise? Doesn't that prove that she was not a besula? Ki ikol edim, just because we have edim that tell us how she was dressed and you know, various indicators of a besula, that's not enough. My hobby. What good is that? Midiles lakov. There's no koil that she was a besula. Sadi shakuninu. That disproves the edim. It pretty much proves them false. Hello, rather, let's tweak it a bit. Let's modify it. It's not an absolute, all across the board, you know, rule that every besula has a koil. In which case, if you don't have a koil, you're not a besula. No, it's most likely. Most likely. Most besulas that married generate excitement and koil. It could be that she's a besula even without a koil. Vizu, but in this case, hoyo ve'en lakoil, since there's an absence of the koil, is l'rubas, that sort of punches a hole. It raises a big question mark, red flag, on the roiv factor, which theoretically was on her side, because most marriages involve a besula, but here we're not sure because what happened to the koil. So the roiv is not really a player anymore. We can't use it anymore. Rather, the only true avenue for this isha to collect her full payment is by bringing edim. That saw her with the Reisha Perua, etc., which support her, which now supports her claim that she was a Pesul. Okay, so let's start again. We had a Mishnah. He sold him some grain, some beans, some seeds. So typically, he doesn't have to expect the buyer to plant it, except if it's totally inedible, like the Zeruah Negina, in that case, he's chayv achrayus, because it's pretty clear that he wanted it for replanting. That took us into the next discussion regarding a similar case. He sold him a shor, which turned out to be not really suitable for farm use. The seller can say, look, it was meant for shechita. So says Shmuel, and Rav says, no, harizim akach toas, because most likely it was meant for farm use. Rav is on his side, he wins the case. Shmuel says, no, Rav is only by Isser, not by Mammon. We thought we had a kash on Rav from the story of the Psula, and that was answered. Okay, one more Gemara. Tashma, we have another raya. Another kasha on Rav. Actually, a raya to Rav. Hamoicher Avi l'chaveri. Hamoicher Eved l'chaveri. Reuben sells a slave, Eved Kanani, to Shimon. V'nimtza ganav oikav yustus. Turns out, they discovered this fellow is a thief. Or even worse, a kidnapper. Higiyoy, too bad. Okay? You bought him, he's yours. What about listem mezuyin? Oymuchtav l'malchus. Turns out that he's really bad. He's an armed robber. Okay? He goes around, you know, or he was condemned to death by the authorities. He's on their, death row. Omer lo, so in this case, the buyer can tell the seller, look, take your thing back. I'm not interested in this animal. Take him back. Ask the Gemara. So the Reisha, in the first part of the Brisa, when he was just a ganav or a kavyustis, a small scale, criminal, my time, why is the customer stuck with him? Lav mishum deruba hachi isno. The Gemara is assuming it's because Raiv avodim arganov. Right? So the buyer, unless he indicates otherwise, we assume he's makabalit. He's readily accepting any criminal because he knows an Eved is a criminal. So what do we see? That Rav is a determining factor when it comes to financial matters. It's a right to Rav and Akash and Shmuel. Lai kulu hach isnu. No, it's not just a majority. Most, no, it's all. All avadim are involved in crime, and therefore, unless the lekeach stipulates otherwise, we assume that he knew full and well what he's getting himself into, and therefore, he's not due a refund. All the best to you and aslacha Rav.